A new food stamps rule could change the lives of hundreds of thousands of Americans.
The ultimate result of all this is that there are likely to be fewer people eligible to receive these benefits.
And global markets continue to move on trade fears.
This is shaping up to be a rather challenging week for markets.
Plus, Google's co-founders give up their management roles. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at a new food stamp rule that's being introduced by the Trump administration today, here's what you missed. Larry Page and Sergey Brin are taking a step back. The Google co-founders are handing over the reins to Sundar Pichai. He's the current CEO of Google, who will now become the head of parent company Alphabet. The move to promote the 47-year-old Indian-born Pichai was unexpected, and he'll have a tough job. He'll have to navigate global regulatory threats and employee discontent. But Page and Brin aren't departing the company entirely. They'll remain on Alphabet's board and will still control a majority of voting power over company decisions. I just meant he was a creep. That was Tesla co-founder Elon Musk's defense when he took the stand yesterday in a lawsuit accusing him of defamation. Last year, Musk tweeted that a British cave diver who'd been in Thailand aiding in the rescue of a boys' soccer team trapped in a cave was a, quote, pedo guy. The man, Vernon Unsworth, then sued Musk for defamation last September. Yesterday, Musk said in court that the tweet wasn't meant to connotate a dictionary definition of the word pedophile, and that the tweet was written in response to what he perceived to be an unprovoked attack. India is saying not so fast to American tech companies. Last year, Walmart purchased India's biggest e-commerce startup, Flipkart, for $16 billion. Then it got some bad news. India was changing the rules. It's part of a wave of regulation aimed at sheltering domestic companies. From Delhi, Nuli Purnell has more.
Well, India's government has started to tighten the regulations on how foreign e-commerce companies here in India can operate. So, for example, after Walmart purchased Flipkart, its biggest ever acquisition last year, India tightened some regulations that change the way that these foreign companies can hold inventory and operate. And it gives it the advantage slightly to Indian-owned companies that they were competing with. There's also been some suggestions of rules for data localization. So India's government saying, hey, Google, Facebook, you know, enormous U.S. behemoths that have enormous user bases here in India, you might have to store your data here locally. And that would be a challenge.
Nuli says the Indian government has given a variety of reasons for why it's imposing these new regulations.
Mostly they come down to, we are a big market and these companies have to abide by our rules. They say these companies have few employees here, they're based abroad, they extract revenues from India, and while our citizens get to use their services, we feel like we don't get as much access to the data on security grounds, and there's a sense that they're being taken advantage of, essentially. Meanwhile, New Delhi is very cognizant that China has produced these enormous Tencent, Alibaba's, Baidu's, now ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, by walling off their own internet. So some factions of the Indian government are saying we need to protect our own startups, which are getting overrun by these American behemoths.
A Google spokesman said the company thinks, quote, governments across the world need to look at striking the right balance to protect the interests of citizens and promote innovation. And Walmart declined to comment. Now, our main story this morning, food stamps. We're exclusively reporting that the Trump administration is going to tighten work requirements for food stamp recipients. The result? Hundreds of thousands of people could become ineligible by mid-2020. The White House says the new rule will save the government billions and encourage more people to work. J.R. Whalen has been finding out more from Jacob Bungie.
So, Jacob, how is the Trump administration planning to change eligibility for food stamps?
Well, what they're doing is trying to tighten up on the state's ability to issue waivers for federal work requirements concerning eligibility for the SNAP program, which used to be known as the food stamp program. And the law that governs this program has certain requirements for how much people are required to work to be able to get benefits and what time period they're allowed to look for work and that sort of thing. But the states at the state level have a certain amount of discretion. They can exempt people, for example, if they determine at a state level that there's not enough jobs to go around to enable people to meet the law. And so what this rule does is it tightens that up. For example, the states no longer going to be able to identify their own areas for measuring the amounts of available jobs. They're going to shift this to areas outlined by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The ultimate result of all this is that there are likely to be fewer people eligible to receive these benefits who are able-bodied working adults who are not supporting children or elderly relatives, for example.
So it's adults without dependents who are most affected here, is that right?
That's right. The USDA estimates that there are about 2.9 million what they call able-bodied working adults who are capable of holding jobs who do not support children, for example, or elderly relatives. And of these, they figure that the new rules will change the status for about 1.1 million of these 2.9 million. The end result is after this rule is implemented, which is set for the 1st of April, and the initial three-month period goes by, there will be something around 224,000 recipients of the SNAP food aid benefits that no longer will qualify.
Now, you alluded to this earlier, but the state's ability to offer waivers is tied to the unemployment rate.
The unemployment rate right now sits around the 50-year low. It's about 3.6%. And the folks of the Trump administration figured that this is an opportune time to try and make what they call reforms of this sort to the SNAP program, to the food stamp program, because there's so many jobs available. Now, the exemptions that the states are allowed to issue to the federal work requirements are in cases where unemployment is above 10%, for instance, in a given area, or where unemployment levels in a given area are 20% above the current national unemployment rate. That would be about 4.3%. And the idea here, again, on the part of the Trump administration, is that they're no longer going to let the states identify their own areas for measuring this.
Now, currently, we have a high rate of employment in the country, but still groups that fight poverty have weighed in.
That's right. There's concern that this is basically going to put too high of a hurdle for people who are trying to find their financial footing, try and establish themselves in a job. Also, the complaint that a lot of the jobs that people might be able to get into on an entry level basis like that are not going to be high enough to help people make the ends meet.
You can find Jacob's story up on WSJ.com. On to markets. Asian markets followed U.S. shares lower, with Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Stock Exchange both closing down over 1%. European markets opened slightly higher. This after the comments we told you about in yesterday's show by President Trump. Ahead of a NATO meeting in London, he indicated that there was no deadline for a trade deal with China. From Hong Kong, Quentin Webb has more.
So this is shaping up to be a rather challenging week for markets. You know, I think a few days ago, the default assumption was that we were close at least to a preliminary, quote, phase one, unquote, trade deal between the US and China. What we've since had is a reminder that actually the trade conflict or the reshaping of the trade landscape is both something that affects many more countries. So not only Europe, but also Latin America, South America too. And there's also now this idea that perhaps even these negotiations with China over a phase one trade deal could drag way late into 2020 past the US election. In recent weeks, markets have been very optimistic about a sort of slightly better growth outlook and perhaps an improving trade relations outlook. And the second of those is no longer quite as true as it once was.
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. The House Judiciary Committee is set to hold its first impeachment hearing. Yesterday, the Democratic-led House Intelligence Committee approved a report along party lines alleging that President Trump abused his office for personal gain. The report accused the president of soliciting foreign election interference and placing, quote, his own personal and political interests above the national interests. The White House called the impeachment inquiry, quote, one-sided and said it failed to produce evidence of wrongdoing. President Trump has repeatedly said he did nothing wrong. Slack will report its earnings after the bell today. Analysts expect that the company will report a loss, but we say the key question for investors will be what Slack has to say about a big tech name you might have heard of, Microsoft. Last month, Microsoft said its office messaging product Teams grew to more than 20 million daily active users. That's compared to Slack's 12 million. Investors are curious to hear what Slack has to say about how it's handling the heat from Teams. Finally, I'm just going to read this headline from our website to you. An NBA player wanted to lose weight. He drank beer. Right. Let me explain. Andre Drummond, he's the center for the Detroit Pistons, wanted to lose weight over the summer before the NBA season. So he went on a diet, which included cutting out meat. But his personal chef told him he'd still need calories for his grueling workouts. So he then added one very cold beer a day to his diet. He drank it during lunch after his morning workout. Just in case you're curious, there isn't an intellectual consensus on the part of the scientific community about the performance recovery effects of drinking beer. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.